Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
The start of the holiday season is marked by an uptick in employment, but the jobs are often seasonal and offer few benefits. Earlier this year, we sat down with Brian Kennedy of the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center to talk about the challenges facing young workers and the center's new report, The State of Working North Carolina. Well, Brian, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the State of Working North Carolina 2017. A lot of focus on millennials.
Yeah. So we generally, with the State of Working North Carolina, we like to take a look at what are the different forces and policies impacting workers in the state. And we started to read literature and realize that not all workers are being impacted by the economy in the same way. So we decided to take a look generationally. How are different generations interacting with the labor market, and what are the different forces causing people to have different experiences?
Well, let's talk about some of those. I'll just start with the millennials, who they obviously face a lot of different challenges when the economy was at its worst and now that it's allegedly coming back up.
Right. So the thing that makes millennials, and especially millennial workers, so interesting is that they entered the workforce right around the time that the recession began and are continuing to enter the workforce as we're slowly, slowly recovering. And so there's been a couple of impacts of that. One is that economic mobility generally is at an all-time low, especially here in North Carolina. And that's impacted millennials' ability to really get a job, focus in a career, and to accelerate in that career to gain more income over time. The other thing is that work is changing. The nature of work in general is changing. There's private forces and public forces that are just preventing millennials from experiencing the same type of working environments that previous generations have benefited. The third factor is that millennials are more diverse than any other generation before them. And so we're having to change a lot of policies and look at what can we do to make sure that everybody has an equal opportunity for employment.
I guess one thing that cuts across all generations, but it obviously helped hurt millennials as well when they enter the workforce, is that despite the talk of a recovery, wages really haven't moved much.
Right. I think one figure in the report that really points towards that is looking at someone who entered the workforce in the 1980s and someone who were into the workforce today. And so if you look at that same cohort over time, somebody who entered the workforce 20, 30 years ago from today is earning the same wage as a millennial who's entering the workforce today. However, these new workers tend to be higher educated. They're facing higher costs of living. Rent is higher. Jobs are more isolated into more urban areas, which cost more. So we're seeing, you know, people are going and getting education and doing the things that they need to do, but they're not necessarily being rewarded in higher wages.
And I guess the other thing millennials face is a lot of them are still struggling with student debt.
Right, absolutely. Student debt is a huge issue. Right now, estimates are student debt is at about $1.31 trillion across the United States. In North Carolina, the average student holds about a little over $25,000 in student debt. And that's having a huge impact on people's ability to purchase homes, to make investments in businesses, to take on entrepreneurship opportunities, and really just to have savings.
Yeah, and I guess it also gets to that issue about sort of just wealth accumulation, if you can't buy a home or you can't do those sorts of things.
Right. And that's a huge difference also between what we're seeing in millennials and previous generations. I think there's a lot of misconceptions that millennials, you know, spend money on avocado toast and they're wasteful. But the reality is that millennials, very similar to the silent generation who came of age during the Great Depression, millennials are actually saving more money than previous generations. The difference, however, is that their cost of living is higher. They have higher debt to income ratios. And so they're not able to make wealth the same way from their savings.
We're in a giant period of transition for healthcare, and there's a report points out there's threats that their healthcare might be gone.
Absolutely. The Affordable Care Act did a lot for millennials, especially raising the age under which people could be covered by their parents' insurance. Additionally, Medicaid expansion across the nation has had a disproportionate impact for especially millennials of color, and it's had a very positive impact for these young folk. But, you know, with ACA threats and with healthcare threats in general, those could really seriously impact the increased coverage we've seen in millennials.
Well, you mentioned millennials of color. What do we know from the demographics in terms of along racial lines? How are millennials doing?
Well, we know that the labor market has always been divided along lines of race. We know that workers of color have always made lower wages. And there's a lot of reasons behind that, whether it's discrimination, lack of access to educational opportunities and things like that. But what we're seeing with millennials, especially places like assets and savings, is that there's compounding effects. So if their parents were not able to access wealth building tools such as home ownership, or we're not able to access the GI Bill and things such as that, these burdens are now being passed on to their children. So whereas around 40% of millennials in general are receiving help from their parents in terms of financial assistance, that only applies to about 10% of millennials of color. And additionally, millennials of color are more likely to have to support their parents as they're becoming older as well.
Yeah, well, that was actually my next question, which is we've read a lot about the graying of North Carolina, and a lot of millennials' parents are now in that age where they're about to stop working, and many of them weren't able to accumulate any wealth with the recent downturn. So that's another burden on millennials.
Right, absolutely. And going back to the changing nature of work, when we see things like pensions going away and the rise of 401ks, which are not providing people with the incomes they need to retire on, that is absolutely placing added stress on millennials and new workers.
Another point the report makes, which I think is really interesting, is that the policymakers aren't making the investments that we need to create these jobs and the infrastructure to support folks.
Right. One of the biggest differences between the Great Recession and the most recent recession is that the level of public investment was completely different. So the Silent Generation were able to benefit from New Deal programs, where there was a lot of public investment in jobs and training and different opportunities. But today, and especially in North Carolina, we're at about a two-decade low in terms of public investment. And so when we combine just economic recovery with a lack of public investment, the opportunities just aren't there.
The lack of public investment goes all the way from public schools to education, right, to actually infrastructure.
Right, absolutely. And we're seeing it play out not only in just stagnant wages and not only in a lack of pensions and access to retirement savings types of programs. But we're also seeing it geographically. So we're finding that counties that don't invest in things like education or don't invest in different things that would help younger generations are actually seeing a loss of those workers. A lot of young workers are migrating to metropolitan areas. And that's that has cyclical effects as well. So if you have workers that are migrating away from rural communities, those communities are losing out on tax base funds. And so it's a nasty effect when we choose not to invest in our communities.
I guess, and finally, there's this whole, the growth, I guess, in work in North Carolina has largely been at the lower end of the spectrum, and yet we haven't had a minimum wage increase in years and years.
Right. So the common myth behind the minimum wage is that they're for teenagers, they're for people working summer jobs. And that's never been true. The reality is that there's always been people who have supported entire families based upon the minimum wage. And today that could be that's more true than ever before. A lot of people who are graduating with college degrees are being forced to, there are no more opportunities for these middle wage jobs. And so they're being forced to go into things like food preparation, services that pay minimum wages. In North Carolina in particular, we've seen growth in the bottom wage jobs and the top wage jobs. And so that's also contributed to a growth in just in economic inequality.
Our friends at the AFL would also probably point out that the new jobs aren't the ratio or the percentage of folks who have a union or can collectively bargain for their wages is also low.
Absolutely. I mean, that just all goes into the changing nature of work. When we see the contingent work or the gig economy where people don't have access to health care, they don't have access to unions or any type of organized labor. They don't have access to just general worker protections that previous generations had. That's having a serious impact on people's ability to choose a career, to stick with a career, to be able to match their skills with the actual job that they're doing. There are obviously the economic impacts, but there's also social impacts. People want to work jobs that they feel that they're skilled in doing. People want to make a livable wage. Unless we can figure out what policies and what regulations we need to put in place in order to make sure that people's jobs are paying them wages that they need, giving them the health care that they need, and providing them with the lifestyles that they need to survive, then we're going to have a problem.
Well, we really appreciate you doing all this work and being with us to explain it. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks again for having me.
Up next, identity theft is still a major problem. Stay tuned.